Welcome back, brothers and sisters, patriots across this incredible nation. This is the podcast Positively American. I am your host, Braden Langley, and we are going to walk through some freedom together. We are going to talk about the politics, the news of the day, and we are also going to do the most important part, talk about how we're going to save our country. It's one thing to complain and moan. It's another thing to take that emotional reaction and put it toward action, and that is what we're all about. Today, we're going to dive into a couple things that I think you'll find extremely fascinating, as I did. It turns out that those most likely to support the woke are much more likely to be anxious or depressed. We're going to walk through that article. I think that's going to stack interestingly on things we've covered prior on this podcast. And the other part that I want to wrap with is the left is meeting a very uncomfortable reality, and it is far bigger than Trump. They've idealized Trump as the problem. All the polling, all the everything. Well, we're going to break all that down right now, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think right down there in the reviews, the comments. Let me know. Let's kick it to the intro, and then we are going to start this freedom train. All right, beautiful people, we got to talk about some stuff. I cannot wait to walk through this with you. And again, I know you guys are going to feel at least similar, but let me know. So one of the things that I really want to broach as we go into this topic is the left requires destruction. And I want you to think about that for a second. Think about history. Think about what you've seen in your life in the short-term history. Think about Western civilizations and Western democracies. All of it. The left cannot exist without destruction. It is a key tool of their political ideology. Now, I want to be really, really clear on something. I'm not saying that everyday Democrats who are American citizens want destruction of our country. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the people at the top of the leftist ideologies in this country, they want a certain utopian ideal. The only way that they can get that certain utopian ideal is to destroy the system that is in place first. That's the only way it's possible. They cannot coexist. Individual markets, capitalism, freedom, individualism, those things cannot and will not exist in the same space as centralized power, as command and control economies, as a utopian provided for by the state to guarantee equity. Those two ideologies cannot exist together. Now, the left will say, oh my goodness, China can do it. Yeah, no, that ain't gonna fly, because that's actually just communism who likes money. There's a difference. Now, when we go through this, if you have to destroy something, but you can't do it overtly, you would have to use subversion. You would have to use lies, fears, anxieties, and play on insecurities of people in order to convince them that you needed them to provide safety. You, the American people, would have to have an all-powerful nanny state to provide protection and safety from XYZ fear here. Does that sound at all familiar? Everything that we've seen over the past 100 years politically, 150 years politically, has started with the left destroying the existing system. You don't believe me? Let's look at financial. If you look at the existing wealth gaps, that's one of their favorite things, the economic disparities in our population or any population. The bourgeoisie, the proletariat, they had to turn those groups of people against each other. You have the proletariat, you can bring down the bourgeoisie. And then, oh my goodness, there's a power vacuum, and who is ready to fill it? The command and control, centralized power, economy, utopian ideals. That is who is there and ready for it. The left is ready to destroy and stoke the fires of revolution. And wouldn't you know it, they are sitting there ready, willing, and able to provide the solution to the problem that they caused. We can't run around with anarchy. That makes no sense. Well, you're correct. We look at that. We have organization. We have structure. Everything will be fair. Everything will be equitable. It will be so amazing. Does that sound familiar? Make different ideals and different desires that you want on your leftist spectrum as rights. Well, then now all of a sudden, if someone on the other side says those aren't rights, why do you hate? Why are you a fearmonger? Why are you all types of phobic? Anything sound familiar at all? It should. It's what we're existing in right now. But understand, as we go through this, the left cannot operate without utilizing manipulation, subversion, fear, and lies. Understand the power of the why. If you see why they are employing those tools, then you will see their outcome. When you see their desired outcome, you go, holy crap, that's not something we could be down with. It's about opening the eyes. But speaking of opening the eyes, let's dive into this a little bit. You remember that story that I talked about last week where the left was crisis'd out? Where the leftist ideologues at the very top had overused outrage and basically abused the dopamine receptors and and inhibitors from the leftist social warrior icons. You know, that whole story? Well, they have no crisis left. They have nothing left in the tank. So now they're having to resort to even increasing return on ROI for more rhetoric. That's an incredibly important piece of what we're about to talk about. If you're looking at all the pieces, this is what it's about. And wouldn't you know it, woke people are more likely to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed, new studies suggest. This is an article from Finland, from the New York Post. Wouldn't you know it? Turns out that the people who are necessary to be protesting in the city, in the state, and wherever you're going to be for the leftist ideals on the woke side of the aisle, again, this is the far left. This is not the Democrats in the middle. This is the far left. I want to drive that home exceedingly clear. Pretty interesting that they would be more likely to be unhappy, anxious, and depressed, isn't it? Almost like a leftist ideology comes in promising to be the solution to all of your problems of which they've identified, and then they play on the unhappiness, the anxiety, and the depression. Isn't that interesting how that works? Let's dive into this a little bit because I think there's something here. So this is a psychological researcher in Finland that did this study. Okay, they've created an assessment to help measure an individual's commitment to principles of social justice and made some surprising findings across the Finnish population, including, this, pay attention to this part, a negative correlation between progressive ideals and the levels of happiness. Huh. So the more progressive that you would be politically and in the woke culture, the less likely you are to be happy. Interesting. Their findings, published in the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology, suggest other Western nations may see similar patterns among their socially conscious citizens. I can save them some time, 100%. And the reason why is simple from my monologue when we started that off. The left relies on unhappiness, sows division, plays on anxieties and depression, and ups fears of people who are already pre-designated to that outcome. Isn't that interesting how all those things are starting to tie together? Well, let's continue here because this is a really fascinating article. And then we're going to get into Trump because they don't even see it coming. They don't get it. So this is a quote from the article. I'm going to go through this whole thing real quick. This debate was largely data-free, and it could be thus considered a worthwhile question to study how prevalent these attitudes are. No reliable or valid instrument existed prior to the study to assess the extent and prevalences of these attitudes in different populations, so I set out to develop one. That's the author of the study. Translation. No one's ever studied this before. I mean, conservatives have. We can tell you this just from basic observation. You turn on CNN, the ones screaming about XYZ fear meteors coming right now, they all tend to typically be aligned to the left. I'm just being really realistic with you. It's always about, look at that scary monster coming to take something from you. You need me to protect you from the scary monster. That's it in a nutshell. I defy you to say anything else. But their research and trajectory included extensive reading on intersectional feminism, critical race theory, queer theory, and other relevant academic disciplines that inform critical social justice, the SciPost reports. Okay? Critical race theory, queer theory, and other relevant academic disciplines. That's like feminism 101. And, oh, there's that intersectional feminism again. Well, let me show you, just so you can come along with me here, what some of the requirements were and what they identified as a social justice attitude scale. And this is the woke people. This is what's true of woke people, okay? And by the way, they expanded this to 5,000 people in Finland. This is not a small study. So I'm going to go through 1 through 7 here. If white people have, on average, a higher level of income than black people, it is because of racism. That checks out. That sounds woke. University reading lists should include fewer white or European authors. ironically woke, particularly with the first statement. Microaggressions should be challenged often and actively through microaggressions, which is ironic. Here's one that I found interesting. It's scored negatively. Trans women who compete with women in sports are not helping women's rights. So that scored negatively. So they strongly oppose that statement, universally. We don't need to talk more about the color of people's skin. So that's they said that wokeness wants to ignore that piece while still highlighting it. A white person cannot understand how a black person feels equally well as another black person. So they strongly identified with that statement. And here's another negative one, this last one. A member of a privileged group can adopt features or cultural elements of a less privileged group. So basically, they can't adopt any icons or anything of a cultural, so they can't do cultural appropriation. That's basically what they're saying. They're saying you cannot be or have anything to do with the cultural identifiers if you are a higher socioeconomic strata. That's effectively what they're saying. Now, the big irony here, of course, I'm sure you picked it out in some of this. On one side of this, it's everything is about race and everything is unfair because of race. And on the other side is we can't talk about race because that's racist. What? Okay, let's just keep that there. But that is what we've identified in this study as what people say is woke. Okay, so let's look at the outcomes here because this is where it gets really fascinating. Listen to the study results here. The gender divide was probably most surprising to me, they told of the Finnish Attitudes. 3 out of 5 women view woke ideas positively, but only 1 out of 7 men. So most women are more likely to identify with woke ideas or politics or policies, but only 1 out of 7 men. So men are fully rejecting it. Okay, listen to this next. This is fascinating. This was especially true of women in fields such as social sciences, education, and humanities, so all nurturing areas. By contrast, participants who worked in STEM were more likely to critique social justice efforts associated with being woke. So this author is saying that if you were in the higher level educational, like the STEM side of things, you're not down with it. It's not your thing. However, if you're involved in social sciences like women's studies and feminine rights and education and humanities, that's your vibe. That's your bag, baby. You guys picking something up here? Got one more thing for you. Let's dive into this, and this is the payoff. However, the most concerning finding was the relationship between mental health and agreement with the scale. Again, the scale is what I told you earlier, the 1 through 7. Specifically, researchers found a high prevalence of anxiety and depression in people who believe the statement, quote, if white people have on average a higher income than black people, it is because of racism. More broadly, they found that those who identified as left-wing were most likely to report lower mental well-being. Jump back to the monologue that I started off with. The woke ideology is something that the far left identifies with. That's what they do. They're just. They're socially just. They have the litmus test. Everything's good and solid. The only problem is the people who identify as woke are more likely to rank lower on mental health. So I don't believe that that's a problem with the people who are identifying as woke. I think that's a problem with the ideological drivers who are manipulating those people with fear to play on their anxiety and their depression. The left requires destruction. If you want a bunch of people to do what you want them to do, to give you power to achieve your ultimate idealism of utopia through command and control and centralized power, doesn't it kind of twisted and make sense that they would play on those with anxieties, depressions, and fears and then gin those up to give themselves more support? This is twisted. And quite frankly, this is wrong. But when you highlight it like this, it gets pretty powerful pretty quick. And now to the second point. This is bigger than Trump, and they don't get it. The left simply does not understand what's happening. Now, if you've been living in America in the last 8 years, you know that the left is out to fundamentally destroy Trump. He cannot be allowed to exist. But that's a very important piece as I go into these clips. I've got a bunch of clips from CNN this weekend. They've identified, and this point is key, people. Please listen to me on this one. The people who say that they respect the rule of law, the people who have sworn to be effective and moral arbiters of the law, have forsaken their oaths, have forsaken the law of which they hold so dear, and have completely abandoned our American system and ideals and everything that we hold so dear about not politically persecuting political opponents through the justice system, it's perfectly fine because it's Donald Trump. He is this person. They have castigated him to a point where it's perfectly fine to go after him in this way because he is him. He is that evil. So it's perfectly fine. You get a pass because, after all, you're doing a greater good. You're doing the Lord's work. You're doing things that are huge and key and massive to the American experiment, our democracy. So you're going to burn the entire thing to the ground because you need to save it. Understand, that's what's happening right now. Anything and everything is fully on the table because they must destroy what they have identified as the biggest threat to what they call democracy, which, by the way, is a constitutional republic. They must destroy it, and therefore, even if they have to burn down the entire house, they have to kill the patient, they are going to kill that virus. Think about it as we go into this. Now, the first thing I've got to show you from CNN, it's a clip from AOC, you know, because she is just a perfect example of the woke leftism that's coming out in the next generation, because the ideas aren't overall well thought out, but they're filled with platitudes and they're filled with concentrated doses of pointed hatred to gin up fear, which will then play on the anxieties and fear of people, which will give them more power. She's a perfect example of that. The rest of the progressive caucus in Congress does that as well. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Jayapal, all of them. But enough of that. Well, that's another thing for another time. Let's hear from the illustrious AOC, the paragon of everything right and fair in the world.
I think that what we are dealing with politically is the much larger and much more grave and serious pressure of having this judgment against Donald Trump and him being in this degree of debt and the financial pressures that he is under and what he is subject to do in order to obtain those assets. I actually think that there is risk in not seizing these assets and the open window that exists in him trying to secure these funds through other means. We've seen a lot of interesting transactions happening with Truth Social and other means, and there's a very real risk of political corruption.
People, you heard her. There's a very real risk of political corruption. But let's just walk through the thought process there. So they've got Trump. They're going to need to destroy Trump, of course, because of the reasons that I said prior. So we're going to have to bring political charges against Trump and destroy him and get multiple hundreds of millions of dollars in fines and judgments against Trump. Because after all, Trump is the Satan that is Satan. And now that we've got those debt loads, you know, if he tries to pay them off, I really have a concern about the needs and possibilities of corruption. You understand what this is? It's just a sliding scale of fear. It's a sliding scale of manipulation. At first, it was he's got to be convicted. At first, it was you got to be impeached. Now it's, ooh, he's got to pay that judgment. He's got to make sure he's got all that judgment. And now they're flirting with the idea of seizing an American citizen's assets because of the results of a political sham trial, which everyone on the planet knows, even the left knows, it is a sham. They just are willing to accept it because, again, please see earlier, he is Satan. We must burn down the house to save the house. But she is on CNN, and she's openly advocating for a seizure because of the potential of corruption. Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, we can go down to AOC some other time, but I'm pretty sure her Tesla and all of her big money items and apartments, that kind of conflicts with her less than versus those that have nots, proletariat, bourgeoisie. You see how it just transcends time? It's always the same, just different brands, just different everything. Because after all, she's the elite. She will tell you what's good, but don't expect her to follow the same things because she's special. But anyway, that's a different thing. That's a little bit of a soapbox for me because everyone loves hypocrisy. But now, let's dive in. We've set it up. It's untenable, and the risk is so broad and so great that we must simply seize his assets in the state of New York. That's where we've gone. Now let's look at Frank Luntz and what he just said on CNN to a panel who is, frankly, just beyond themselves that he would dare say that, and befuddled. Listen.
All right, Frank, the politics of this. Folks in the Biden campaign are already starting to refer to Donald Trump as Broke Don, which is interesting. And then there is the possibility that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, would have to start or would start seizing assets, maybe even buildings. How do you think that would play?
I want you to remember this moment, and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him.
Any questions? Frank's not wrong, of course, but the left still doesn't seem to understand. And the thing that they don't understand is this, and I've got two more clips from Frank, so we're going to have some fun over here with CNN and Frank in the panel. But the thing that they don't understand is it's simple. They're identifying it as Trump. If we put some felonies on Trump, then he'll go away. Trump will be gone. We'll destroy him. Him and his family will cease to exist. But the thing that they don't understand, beautiful people of Positively American, they don't understand that the American people are responding the way that they are responding is because they see a system that is persecuting an individual and they see themselves. This is not confirming and creating a victimhood. This is putting victimhood on a magnifying glass, the biggest magnifying glass you can find, the U.S. presidential election. You go down these roads, which they've already done, like he even mentioned, Colorado removing him from the ballot, Maine removing him from the ballot. Yeah, how'd that work out, numbnuts? We all knew that wasn't going to happen. What did it do? It made him stronger. His polling right now is very strong. Now, I'm not saying he's 100% guaranteed to win or not win. I'm just saying, objectively, his polling is very strong, and every time that they do something, it goes stronger. They think, oh, he's just a good spin master. He's a good spin doctor. He's just manipulating people. What's really happening is the American citizens are going, screw this state, screw this abuse of power, screw everything that they're doing. I don't care what they do to this man. This cannot be allowed to stand. This is a grassroots resistance, and all you got with Trump is the spearhead. He is the very loud orange focal point. The big broad spearhead, the one you really got to worry about, the part that the left has completely lost, sees what's happening. And even the people in the middle are going, this is not good. We're not going to burn down the entire house and trample every single constitutional right that we have because you want your leftist utopian. Again, going back to playing on the fears and ideals in order to get their desired outcomes. The American people are awake. One of the reasons that I was inspired to start this podcast, of which I was really debating for a while, is because I see this. The American people are waking up across the board. The executive creep, the bureaucratic creep against their freedoms is not going unnoticed. The insane dysfunction of Congress is not going unnoticed. The reason that you are seeing Trump going up in the polls every single time the state attacks him is because the state's attacking him. It's not because he's Donald Trump, orange man good or orange man bad. It's because he is a effigy for what's happening. The left sees him as an effigy to be destroyed. The right, or the everyday American in this case, the grassroots, see him as an effigy of what they're going to do to them. The system has grown legs itself, and it's all about serving itself. That's the problem. That's what the left is not identifying, because the right and the middle sure as heck is. But that's the first thing, creating a victimhood. No, it's exposing and confirming a victimhood, because anybody with eyes sees what's happening. But let's go to the second one. Frank's got more things to say to the New York Attorney General, Letitia James.
But it will prove the things that he's saying on the campaign trail, and he will go up, and it may just elect him president. Do not forget that. And I say this to the Attorney General right now. If you play politics on this, This is what the secretaries of state did in Colorado and what they did in, I believe, is Maine. His numbers went up in both states. I don't understand. I'm almost speechless in how pathetic the opposition to Trump has been and how completely misguided. And this is a perfect example.
How completely misguided it is. Now, here's the funny part about this, and this is what I really love about these clips and segments, because when you break them down, they really do tell a lot more than they show. Letitia James, the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, the left ideologues, as we've kind of highlighted here, they're pot committed. Understand, they can't back down. So this is not something that Frank has any ability to sway on them. The fact is, they put themselves into a corner and painted all around it. They painted themselves into a corner, so to speak. They have now promised the left, the woke ideologues, the ones that they need more return on investment, of which we've hit on prior, that they're going to provide more and more rhetoric, more and more raw meat to the leftist base so they get that return on investment. Now, in doing, they've pissed off the middle and they've pissed off the right to no end. But even the middle Democrats are getting a little uncomfortable with this. So now, what do you have to do? If you're Letitia James and you're in a progressive state, one of the most progressive in the country, Donald Trump is the evil that exists, you can't back down. You're kind of in a catch situation. You're caught between tyranny and a hard place. If you continue down the road of seizing his assets, which is going to be widely perceived as incredibly aggressive and targeting an individual because of political persecution, you get the benefit of your left being like, yeah, you got him. But at what cost? The middle and the right are going to band together and say, bump you. You're going to see an unprecedented turn to the right. Now, not necessarily this election, short term, long term. Eventually, you will see an abject rejection of these ideals. Except from the farthest left progressives like California and Illinois and New York, except for those big states. So again, she's caught between a rock and a hard place, or a tyranny and a hard place, like I like to say. She's got to either go down the road and appease her leftist base, which again, they've been courting because they need, and piss off the middle and the right. Or go towards the middle and say, we're not going to seize his assets because it would be perceived very poorly. It's not going to be a good look. And then all of a sudden, the left, of which they need, the far left, the ideologues, the ones that are the woke, the ones that are the most prone to be anxious, depressed, and rely on fear the most and have a most positive correlation to mental, not issues, that's not the right way to say it, mental propensities of negativity or poor mental outcomes, the better way to say it. What's she going to do? She's going to go left. She has to. She has to maintain everything left. But I got one more thing for you, because now Frank Luntz has got something else to say. But this isn't political. The White House had nothing to do with this, right? Let's get it, guys.
How is Donald Trump beating Joe Biden when he's got 85 indictments that still exist? Felonies. How is he beating Joe Biden with the economy getting better and things cleaning up? Okay, we got, it's still have inflation, you still have got immigration. Trump is leading, and in the 7 swing states, Trump is up by the margin of error in 5 out of 7. Why is that happening? Because his critics are stupid, and they're running a horrible campaign. And for those people who do not want Donald Trump back, they should be thankful that the people who are orchestrating his loss are as pathetic, and they don't understand the American people.
Quick last word.
I'm not so sure it's a smart strategy for Joe Biden to be making fun of poor Don, because how often does Donald Trump say this is all Biden prosecutions, Biden cases? And we fact check him correctly to say no evidence this is coming from the White House. And it's not. But it certainly creates an impression when Joe Biden is spiking the ball and doing a dance about these cases. So I'm not the political advisor, and legally there's no connection, but it does create an appearance that there's some celebration going on.
Okay. This is the part of the show where we just laugh and make fun of them because they really think we're this stupid. Okay, I'm going to paint a picture for you. Beautiful people, patriots across this nation. If you've got a White House that has a very direct positive outcome to Trump being hit politically in a court and having negative outcomes, do you think that it would be wise for you to pick up the phone to Letitia James or Fannie Willis in Atlanta and say, hey, how's it going? Are you doing great? You really think they're going to do that? Don't get me wrong. They have proven not very smart on the left sometimes. But do you think they're really going to do that one? Or, I mean, call me crazy. Do you think maybe the DNC, you know, the Democratic National Convention, the entire organization, do you think maybe they might be briefed on what's going on with Letitia James and Kathy Hochul? Maybe Fannie Willis. You think maybe they might have what's going on, and then that information makes its way back to the White House? And then the White House says, oh, man, that's crazy. We're just going to call him Broke Don forever. And then that goes to the DNC, and the DNC goes right back down to those prosecutors and their attorney generals. It's weird. There's no direct correlation, guys. CNN just told us. There's no way. There's no direct line from White House to prosecution or Attorney James. No way. It doesn't exist. We've proven it correctly. Now, did they prove that it goes through a third party, so now there's one step between A and B? No, but that's not. But there's no direct line, guys. They really think we're that stupid. Now, the other part about this clip is this guy's going, well, there's no correlation, of course. That would be preposterous. We've confirmed it on CNN. However, them spiking the football and making up names at his misfortune at the hands of the Democrats, that kind of puts a little bit of an awkward vibe on it. You think? I'm sorry, guys. If you think that the White House has no claws, no look, no nothing, they're just watching like the rest of us, I got a bridge to sell you somewhere where there's no bridge needed. Because I got nothing. You might be hopeless if that's truly what you believe. Left, right, center, don't care. Come on, guys. Anybody who's been alive more than 10 minutes goes, something smells funny. But anyway, it creates a vision of impropriety. That's the problem here. Yeah. And then the other thing that Frank said, wrapping this entire clip up, all these CNN segments. How is he winning? How is it possible that his poll numbers are still good? How is he even in the race? 85 indictments. Notice it was down from 91. Yeah, just saying. They don't get it. And this kind of goes back to the whole point of this second segment of this show. They don't understand. They have utilized every tool that they have to achieve their leftist ideologue vision. Fear, destruction, anxiety, manipulation, subversion, everything. And it's not working. Go back to my original point on this. It's because the American people see this for what it is, and even people who are on different ends of the political spectrum know this is not right. Know in their guts this is not a good idea. Everything that we're observing is not about the main players. It's about the people behind the stage holding all the ropes, holding all of the support systems, holding everything that makes that stage work, the ropes that make the curtains go up and down. Everything, the levers, are the American people. But these people only see the top. And AOC is so prescient, so wise. We simply must seize his assets because of the potential for corruption. Really? Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And so wrapping this entire thing up as this podcast concludes for the day, understand what's happening. On this podcast, I try to connect everything on the broad base. I try to go and zoom out in the macro because a lot of the times in the fights that we fight for our rights on the conservative aisle side of the aisle, we zoom in so micro that we lose the macro. When you zoom out and you look at everything that's going on, similar to a topographic map looking from the sky downward, just like in World War I, everything was changed when airplanes had cameras pointing downwards because you could see from a higher vision. You can see the entire battlefield. It changed the perspective completely. That's what we aim to do here. When you zoom out and you look at the trend lines and you look at everything that's going on underneath the surface, you can see the entire apparatus at work. Two Leviathans going back and forth, trading blows in a micro battle. We are witnessing a broad-based political ideological spectrum war. We are not witnessing individual micro punches. The border, the political persecution of Donald Trump, abortion, gun rights, all these things, they're just battlefields on a much wider spectrum war. But when we zoom out and we see everything and we connect the dots, we can bring more people to our side, which is why we are doing this podcast. Positively American has multiple meanings. But yeah, we're going to highlight what they're doing on the left. We're going to bring attention to it. But the reason that we're going to do that, our why, is because we're going to use that and build into a plan to take our country back, put it back on the right path, because even people in the middle know this is wrong. And it's only a matter of time. Once we water that tree of liberty will sprout. Right now, it's just got a little bit of that dormant vibe, but it will. And we don't have to go down the road of the extreme of which the tree of liberty has connotations to it. We can just use water. We just need more people with buckets. And that's what I've got for you guys. I'm going to kick it to the outro. I hope you guys enjoyed. Let me know what you think in the comments below, and I will see you on the next one. I'm Braden. See you later.